It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple patents modular additions to the Apple Watch, smart fabrics, and a smart home system that sets itself up. How the coronavirus is impacting Apple and other tech products, and the iPhone stopwatch doesn't work the way you think it does. Plus reviews of CanX premium mousepad with wireless charging, two-factor authentication, and custom watch faces. This and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/applewatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 316, recorded Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. Apple Pay Vaccine.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and still the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me, as always, is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy. And of course, also joining us, wouldn't be a show without Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you, Tom.
Yes, we are a little bit later this week. It's a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. I have a question. I have to ask this question, Vincent. Did you complete your February Heart Month activity challenge?
Nay.
That's
so
a nay?
Unfortunate.
Nay, so are you from like the old country with that? Nay?
nay, like I'm sitting on my rear end like a horse.
Okay, yeah. So you did not hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Seven times in a row. Okay.
I haven't heard that in a long time, to be honest.
Is that a foreign sound to you? Wait, here's another one you might not be familiar with. Hold on.
Oh, what is that? I feel like I need to start running or something.
Yeah, you have to start now. Okay. Yeah. That should be in the opening of our show, right? It's to get started. Anyway, you had to close your exercise ring every day for, was it 7 days, right?
Mm. 7 days.
Including Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Yeah, just the exercise ring, not the others. But, and I don't, Apple does not have another activity challenge on the books yet this year, do they? I haven't heard of anything announced yet.
They usually do Earth Day, don't they?
Yeah, when is that?
September? April 24th.
Oh, that's a ways away, yeah. Hmm. I guess we just had President's Day. I guess there wasn't one for that. I don't know what that would be, a President's Day challenge.
No, they just ignore that, I think.
All right, well, anyway.
I salute the guys that you guys that actually did complete it.
Here's to thanks. You. It was a weird one because I felt compelled to complete all three, even though all you needed was the exercise.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it's hard to not have all three completed if you're completing one of them.
It is, and again, the stand is the outlier. That's the one that gets me, you know, because sometimes if I'm up late, like just a little after midnight. If you at least get up, like you go to the bathroom, whatever, before you go to bed, you can at least get one stand ring in before you even go to bed for the next day. Mm-hmm. So you can wake up with one, right? Mm-hmm. And if you time it just right, if you wake up right before the hour, you can get another one and then one after the hour. So you can have three within 20 minutes.
Wait, yes. So if you're wearing your watch and, you know, measuring your sleep and you get up to do your business in the middle of the night,
it would count, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
if you had a long enough distance to go, right?
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it would. But even doing that, sometimes you might not make your stand goal. Well, that's the crazy thing, right?
on a Facebook page, one of the Facebook pages I follow, this guy posted he had like 21 out of 24 stands, and he was all proud. It's like, that's very good. And if you remember, I think it was the summer of 18, I did 30 out of 24 when I had that trip back from India. And yeah, I somehow got 30 hours into a 24-hour day. So I posted that, and he goes, how'd you do that? Did you manipulate the system? I'm like, yeah, I guess I did. But
yeah, you manipulated physics. You went back in time.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
You went back in time, and you probably stood up a lot on your flight.
I did. Yeah, yeah. I did stand up a lot on my flight because it looks kind of stupid kind of shaking your hand, you know?
Well, it's better for you if you get up and move around anyway.
It is. It is. And there's enough room on those jumbo jets that you can walk up and down the aisles and not bump into people.
Yeah. I'm going to get a chance to do that in May. We're heading to Taiwan. I'll be able to play with time travel and see how much I can get.
There you go.
Activity-wise. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's a 14-hour flight, so.
Yeah.
It's nothing like getting your entire stand goal on the flight.
Mm. Yeah, bring your battery, your watch charger.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, boy. All right, let's get into the news here because that kind of leads into something here I would love to have, but we're not going to have it by May. A lot of patents this week.
Mm. Yes.
A ton of patents for whatever reason. But the first one here is Apple is talking about and a patent about functional modules is what they call them, which is a way to upgrade your watch by attaching something to the bottom of the watch. These would be all kinds of things, according to this patent. They're different components. Let's see. They say some users may so you may be able to have health monitoring components, different functions during exercise, having different cosmetic features during social activities. I mean, to kind of lay out the need for it. And then the actual functional stuff could be things like different sensors, biosensors, batteries, I/O components, communication interfaces, controllers, all these different things that you could basically snap on to the bottom of your watch. Very interesting.
I wonder about the bottom.
I don't know. I guess because some of these would have to have sensors in them.
It
would need to be connected to your skin somehow.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we made a whole fuss around the port, the little diagnostic
Yeah, we
port,
did,
right?
Didn't we?
And it's just like, man, and then that's gone. And then, like, imagine it going sideways, though. I mean, like, you know, like 35 components on your arm.
Well, how thick do you want your watch to be?
Exactly.
Can you double them up would be the question. But, you know, looking at this, and I know it's just a drawing, it's from the patent, and I'll put this in the show notes so people can see this. It looks like the band technology, how you click on a band. You would click on a bass piece to the bottom of your watch.
Oh, true.
Yeah, kind of cool. Things I hadn't really thought about, they said, as an example, the heart rate relies on the reflection of light, right? And that using this new patent, they could optimize for particular pigmentation or range of pigmentation of skin, so a given user can select the functional module that is best suited for them. That is pretty cool. So they're really thinking this through. And then they list all these different possible combinations. So one of them would be, one that could facilitate measurements of body temperature, exposure to UV, other health-related information. Another one could detection of images, pressure, light, touch, force, temperature, position, motion, and so on. Another one would be a temperature sensor, a light or optical sensor, an atmospheric pressure sensor, humidity sensor, gyroscope, accelerometer, so on and so on. Doesn't it already have an accelerometer?
Mm-hmm.
Already has one.
It does.
Anyway, I know they're just covering it in the patent, but it's an interesting way of creating a new watch that you would change it based on what you want it to do.
You kind of mentioned it. Q2 of 2019. Yeah.
What was that?
This patent?
Yeah.
It seems, yeah.
You think they should have had this sooner?
Oh, it's filed back then. But yeah. They still haven't done anything about it yet. So.
Yeah, it was filed back then. We're just now hearing about it because I think it was just published.
Yeah. It makes sense to stack it. I wonder if the individual units charge on the base. That way it's all together as one unit. You don't have to take it off or anything like that.
Well, one of you're right. How would you charge it? And then one of them could be a battery.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Itself, right?
Yeah.
Now, the question would be, I don't think you could put more than one of these together. I don't know. This is weird. In one diagram, it looks like it's attached to the bottom of the watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one shows it attached. The band is attached to the actual module.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two different options.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's cool. They'd have to make sure that it didn't get too thick. Like they'd have to, there maybe some things would come out of the base watch and go into the snap-on components, but because it could get kind of thick if you didn't do it correctly.
Yeah, right. It could, if you you think about how thick the watch is right now, you'd add some thickness to that, obviously, but... Well, it's a patent. We may never see this, just like we're never going to see the bands, the smart bands, right? I kind of put this in the same category. It's fun to think about. I just wish they would do this much thought behind the phone. You never see stuff like this for the phone. I mean, we've got tons of patents for the watch for all these cool things. None of them have come true, but I haven't seen anything like this for the phone.
I wonder if Samsung and Google already have it patented. Because, they have a bunch of, after Google bought Motorola. So all those components or all those concepts have been already
used for the phone, you mean? Mm-hmm. That they already have? Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be. Did you see any of that, what is it, the Galaxy, the flip, the bending phone thing this past week?
I did.
Yeah.
I
read a couple Motorola Razr or whatever.
No, the next one, the is it Samsung? The other one.
Yeah.
The newer one.
Hmm. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's like a square that flips open.
Huh.
And they've actually, I think, designed it to where different information is on the bottom and the top in the screen. So they've actually put some thought into the software and how it would work. And it looks pretty interesting. I guess it's proof of concept that that sort of thing can work. Don't know if Apple will ever get around to doing something. I think they're just waiting to see, if this is going to work or not. But anyway, that's the first patent. Let's move on to another one. Another thing we may never see. This is kind of cool. Adjustable smart fabric with built-in buttons.
Mm.
Okay, so they're talking about using fabric as part of the design of their devices, including something called a fabric dome that can be used as a switch. This is crazy stuff. And the reason they're looking at this, and I mentioned the foldable phones, because whatever you build that screen out of, it's going to bend over, it's going to, the stress point of folding, unfolding will eventually break it. But something that's kind of meant to be folded and moved more would be fabric.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that really won't wear out as quickly as something else if you bend it. So they're looking at putting circuitry and all kinds of stuff into the strands of fabric. They're calling it middle of strand knots throughout the construction. By applying a current to the conductive strands, the knots can produce magnetic fields, which in turn can adjust the tension of the fabric itself.
Oh.
So if you think about it, is that how they're going to get the self-adjusting watch band?
There you go. Self-adjusting watch band, the Nike shoes that tie themselves, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But it would be, it's magnets.
Yeah.
That's so wild. Apple loves magnets. they've put it in practically everything, don't they?
Yeah.
Think about it. You can't charge anything or do anything with Apple without a magnet being involved.
You know what I did the other day? I had my MacBook open, and I was messing around with my Apple Watch case. Oh, no, sorry. My Apple iPod case. And I was just kind of moving it around the surface, the top of the MacBook. And something I triggered on the MacBook that simulated the fact that it closed.
There's a magnetic click.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And then my MacBook just shut off.
Yeah.
Like, no okay. kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was something, someone mentioned that when something goes wrong, that you run a magnet along it.
Oh, great. Oh,
it was the iPad keyboard cover.
Oh.
That when that keyboard stopped working, it's because it had a bad connection.
Oh.
You know, and you would run a magnet along there to kind of loosen it up was one of the tips.
I always have a magnet
worked.
In my pocket.
Yeah. The what?
I always have a magnet in my pocket to do just that.
Oh.
my old iPad and the keyboard did that at the end. It just lost connection all the time.
It died on me completely. I had to get a new keyboard for my iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. But the magnet thing never worked for me. And sometimes the keyboard would work just suddenly out of the blue. Hmm. And sometimes it wouldn't. But that's funny. You ran across that
switch. Whatever
that is. Switch is in there. See? Mm-hmm. They put magnets in everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's how you charge your watch. It's how you put your AirPods in their case. It's how the case clips closed. The iPad covers. All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all magnets.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And now they're going to talk about putting it in fabric. This is pretty cool.
You know what I was thinking about when Go ahead.
Go ahead, Vincent.
Go ahead, Vincent.
Now, you know what I was thinking about when I read this article is smart underwear. This basically
I wasn't going there, but
that could measure pretty much everything. It could measure how many times I've been sitting up and standing and laying down. It could measure the expansion of my waist. It could
fabric. You're talking about using the fabric for something other than smart, a watch band.
Yeah,
exactly. It could do everything. Temperature, you know, heart rate, smart underwear. That's
smart
thing. I'm
underwear.
Gonna patent that.
I think you should.
How about a belt? Start with a belt. How tight does your belt get, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking of the gloves, I was thinking of conducting, you know, conducting orchestras and bands and things like that. I don't know if you guys have ever played in a band or orchestra. I did. And you know you could have smart gloves to kind of for the conductor, and that can like show the rhythm on your music in the future, right, or on your iPad in the future. So that's what I kind of thought of when I was reading the article.
When you say that, I think of Minority Report. He's just waving his hands.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's so much you could do with it. And I was saying, Tom, you probably see something like this before you see the modular. Can't even say that.
Yeah.
Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not holding my breath on any of that stuff. It's really cool. It's great that they're thinking about it, but get busy. Let's get some of this out here. The other part of this patent that I mentioned was the switch, these fabric domes, as they call them. Instead of a traditional button, you know, that you would push or click, the material is double layered. With one element laying flat underneath the dome, stretched over the dome's base, and effectively creating an air pocket. And the way they position it within the structure, a connection isn't normally made between the two elements without some form of external force. This could take the form of a finger pressing down on the dome, pushing the two contact areas together and completing a circuit like a switch.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So there's a button where there isn't a button. It's a fabric button. Wow.
Well, it's essentially, I don't want to say acting like a button, acts, but it's just a different mechanism to do it. So,
yeah, that's all a button does is complete a circuit.
Complete
right?
a circuit, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool, but I think the gloves is a little cooler. Or the underwear.
I'll settle for a self-adjusting band at this point. That's fine by me. Okay, let's talk about some other rumored stuff. That's all we got this week is rumors. Another rumor. This comes to us from, let's see, who mentioned this? What company? I can't see where it came from. According to DigiTimes, Apple is said to be working with supply chain partners in Taiwan. Speaking of Taiwan, on several upcoming projects, including something they're calling an AirPod Pro Lite.
Hmm.
Other products include next generation iPad, Apple Watch, an iMac. So obviously, with the coronavirus and all that going on, Apple is looking for other suppliers to come, you know, there are other sources to get their products done. And Taiwan is definitely one they're looking at. But AirPod Pro Lite, what is that?
Exactly.
What would that be? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. They just came out with the AirPod Pros. What would the light be? Like, you get one?
I don't. Maybe it's a way of just saying getting a cheaper price point and saying it doesn't have one or two features. I don't know. I don't understand. I read this too, and I was like, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Unless it's it looks like the AirPod Pros, but there's no noise cancellation or transparency feature.
Right. Just those features.
They're just in-ear buds.
I was thinking the other way around. It'd actually be the original case and style, but with noise canceling. So all you wanted was noise canceling. So it doesn't have the in-ear.
But that you can't really do the noise canceling very well if you don't create that that pressure, that fit, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what this would be. But maybe they're just confused.
I don't know. We haven't seen Apple come out with anything, a light version of anything in a long time.
Have they ever done anything and called it light?
Well, nano. They got it smaller.
Yeah, but not light. Light to me is like you get half the features for half the cost, right? Mm. But I consider the AirPods Pro light, right? Right now, and it's too confusing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that just may be something lost in translation there. I don't know what's going on. Okay, let's talk about more stuff that isn't true yet. last week we talked about the car key, right? Mm-hmm. The way that you could actually start your car with the Apple Watch or lock or unlock the doors. Well, now apparently, looking into this a little bit more, they're going to take this even further. That it could also work on your house. So you could control it. It works very similar to the payment transactions, a secure element that stores data, you know, specifically on the device would allow you to, it says entry to physical locations, buildings, transmit access, etc. To control home automation devices or controllers, anything of that sort. So again, this is a patent. I do believe. But the car key AP was spotted in the last version of iOS 13.4 beta. So it is there. It may not be this robust yet when it comes out, but kind of cool. I mean, that would be pretty neat.
I got to think this is close. This is close to happening on the phone and the watch unlocking technology.
Now, how would that work with... the photo they used, this is from iMore, by the way, the article. They're showing an August door lock as an image right below the headline. How would that work with an existing device? The device would have to be capable of doing that?
Would it be blue? Well, is it software through the Wi-Fi or Bluetooth? Because those devices typically have one or the other, don't they?
Well, right now, if I bought an August lock, I can do that with the August app. What I'm saying is, how am I going to be able to do this unless August, you know, allows the HomeKit or whatever to... I don't know how this would work. It's a little confusing. It's a lot of things going on here. CarPlay and starting the car, I understand. Mm-hmm. But when you start involving other devices... I guess it's through an API, right?
So it's through a software API, I'm sure. Are you asking that if you have a device that's kind of a back rev, could it physically or electronically do the actual unlocking or the communication with your watch?
It sounds like the company or whoever made the device would have to make it so, right?
They would.
It
just depends if it's a software update or a hardware update. If it's a software update, you can probably use the devices you have. Obviously, if it's a hardware upgrade, you may have to change out.
Yeah, maybe. I just think Apple at some point should come out with their own devices for the home.
Well, I think it's coming down the road too for like hotels, right? Yeah, they have the smart key now that you can use your phone on the apps for the hotels, and it's just the next logical right. step is you'll be able to use your watch as well.
Yeah, there's a couple that, that do that, don't they?
Right yeah, now? Which hotel was it? I think you reviewed it.
It wasn't Hilton.
Marriott.
No, it was a high-end, one of the higher-end hotels.
Yeah, one of the higher ones, yeah. I forget what it, which one it was.
Yeah, you mentioned it a year and a half ago. I don't know if it's been used widely or not, but at least it was out there.
All right, let's talk about something that's real.
all right. Be glad to.
Let's see. This is Strava. You know Strava, the app? Mm-hmm.
Workout app?
They've now added, with their latest version of their app, they're adding HealthKit integration for importing Apple Watch workouts. So this is cool. So normally you'd have to do all this through the Strava app, correct? And if I did anything with my Apple Watch workout, I had to use like a third-party software or whatever to get that data and put it into the Strava app. Well, now you can do it directly from the Strava app, I do believe. So with if I understand how this works, you're able to access that data directly into the app. But I think you still have to like go in. It's a settings option, it says.
Mm-hmm. And allow it to read from the health app. Yeah,
allow it to read. But then do you have to then tell it what you want to import? Or does it do it automatically? That I'm not sure about.
Yeah, usually when you do the integration to the health app, it lets you choose like what data you provide the third party. So like height and weight and all that other stuff that it stores in there, heart rate.
Okay, so good news. Do either of you use Strava?
I don't.
No, I have not either. Yeah,
used to use Strava.
No, I've used Nike Run Club.
Yeah, that's right, Nike Run Club.
Yeah, I have not used this one. But good news, if you've been doing that, things just got a lot easier with the update. And now let's go back to another patent. I forgot one. Yet another one. This is from Apple. They're a patent for a smart home system that can configure itself. You're going to love this, Chris. So Apple has a patent for a system that could make connecting all of your smart devices easier by automatically detecting the device, what room it's in, and authenticating it for you to use.
Yeah, so I was thinking that this was related to that prior article. I mean, somehow that all the IoT in your house is going to start communicating together. And this is what car key and whatever it is going to kind of rely on.
Yeah, it might. It sounds similar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also I think Apple, Google, Amazon, they're creating, I think it's Zigbee Alliance, I think I read, where they're getting together to create like a standard, open source standard home digital smart home API. So maybe that helps too, but they're trying to standardize things as well to make it easier, you know, for all the different companies to kind of talk to each other actually.
Yeah.
Right. And this, though, this is pretty wild that in theory, if you installed like a smart light switch in your dining room, this system would immediately display the switch in the home app on your iPhone and automatically identify it as a light switch for your dining room. But this is where it gets really wild. It describes a system where a host unit for this technology could detect other host units installed around your house to auto-generate a floor plan. Detect inanimate objects like sofas to know where they are and to even know when you're walking around your house.
Oh, it would detect me as an inanimate object.
Yes.
Sitting at my desk.
But then it could figure out how you walk and it wouldn't trigger an alarm. But if someone intruded in your house, they'd know it doesn't, that the walk doesn't match your kids, your wife, or you, and it would trigger the alarm. How's that?
This is crazy stuff, isn't it? Now, the system would do this, what they're calling TOF, time of flight sensors, to get 3D depth data of the room and a signal technology like ultra wideband radios to connect from host unit to host unit. Now, that all sounds like you're going to need a lot of stuff for that, but the 2020 iPhones coming out this year are rumored to already have a TOF camera. And the iPhone 11 and 11 Pro already have the ultra wideband radios in them.
Isn't what the HomePod, didn't the HomePod have some sort of signal technology to
sense the room? Yes, well? Yeah. It would read the room. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about those types of things. They're taking it to another level here, of course. Mm-hmm.
But, well, that's cool, but if they don't make the Home app better, it's moot. I mean, that app is not very good. And I haven't reviewed it since my second review a couple weeks ago, but it's so quirky. I'm telling you, I come home with things like, what happened while I was gone? You know, so that's a different show.
My wife isn't in our home. She got rejected. So I don't know how to add her back in.
did not recognize her?
Yeah, I deleted her out and then added her back in. She's still out.
So. Well, Lord, don't turn the light off and turn a light on that's like got a Hue light bulb in it. Forget it. Just wrecks your whole system.
Yeah, that's the other thing with the lights. If I have it set up on a timer, by force of habit, I'm going to flip that switch when I leave the room. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't work. So right. I kind of defeat the whole thing. Anyway, this is crazy. But it's getting to the point where this is the kind of thing Apple does best when Apple's really firing on all cylinders, right? Is they take something super complicated and make it simple. Mm-hmm. I buy something, I plug it in, it automatically works. And this could be pretty cool, as you said, if they get the HomeKit app done right. This could be pretty neat.
You just need a HomePod every room.
That's all. That's all they. That's all the several. You need three or four in each room. But other than that, it's okay.
Well, I think also as I get into this, more and more devices are becoming hubless. You know, like Hue needs a hub, and Arlo cameras need a hub. Right. So as more and more devices become hubless and they're just individual devices, this will become more and more prevalent in the setup as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the device is; it works independently and it connects right into your smart home.
Well, the good news here is I think Apple recognizes that this is a mess. Mm-hmm. This whole thing, and it's not their fault. It's just all these companies creating all these devices, and how do you know, they all have their own thing, and they're working again. I know with Amazon and them to get their own kind of a dedicated system or standards, but they're at least recognizing there's an issue and working on it. So that's good news.
Yeah, and they're working with other people versus being proprietary to themselves.
Right. Or whatever they do will work within that new standard. So, mm-hmm. Okay. This next article I want to talk about just because I saw it and I was kind of blown away by the simplicity of it. I never thought about it this way. Your iPhone stopwatch, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's used it, right? Simple, very simple mechanism. You click on it and it measures the amount of time that's elapsed, right? It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. This is what I thought was pretty wild. It actually records the time and date that you hit the button. It doesn't measure. It's not sitting there counting the seconds. Mm-hmm. It simply remembers that. And then it calculates the amount of time that has elapsed since the next time you hit the button. Mm-hmm. And as a result, even if you close out of the app, shut down your phone, as soon as you turn it back on, it knows how much time has elapsed and will calculate it for you. It keeps running, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a stopwatch that doesn't stop. All right. That's pretty wild that it could do that. It can go for days and days without an error in calculation because of that. Mm-hmm. And in this article, it says there's no official world record, but someone... This guy in Kuwait City, apparently he's logged about 9 years on his iPhone using this, and it translates to 78,888 hours and 32.80 seconds.
Wow.
9 years he left it running, if you will. That's crazy.
It doesn't pop up and say, are you still there?
It should, shouldn't it? It should. Are you sure you still want to keep tracking this?
And he doesn't want to stop it now. He's like, I've gone this far.
Right.
What's another 9 years?
At a certain point, why would you stop? You know, just keep going and call Guinness, right? Getting that world record. Now, what's interesting, though, is even if your iPhone resets or your battery dies, it still will track that stopwatch is still sort of running. Now, it's interesting though, the Apple Watch works differently. The maximum amount of time you can run that on the Apple Watch is 11 hours and 55 minutes. Why, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess maybe it just shuts down software.
Yeah, it won't go beyond, obviously, 12 hours for some reason. Yeah. But I just thought that was crazy. I never thought about it that way.
I had neither, but once I read it, I was like, okay, it seems logical, right? It's just measuring from the start point, right? And then it can always go back to that start point.
It's a smart way to do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. That even if something happened to your phone or whatever, it would still keep going. Right,
exactly.
So you could set some really interesting stopwatches, couldn't you? You know, so let them run. And then something that came out today, there's a new update for your watch. WatchOS 6.1.3 came out today with a lot of what they're calling critical bug fixes.
Surprise. It's a bug fix.
Yeah, but this one is interesting. It says it includes a fix for an issue that prevented the irregular heart rhythm notification from working as expected for watch owners in Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, very country specific.
Region, yeah, mm-hmm. region specific mm-hmm. there. I guess you don't realize how many different versions of the OS there really are, right?
Yeah.
That they're all running different ones, but
would that have something to do with the language?
Probably.
I mean, I don't think it would know the location. It had to be, the language.
Oh, it's the notification that was being prevented, not actually the detection.
Correct. It was working, but the notification wasn't, which basically means it's not working.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're probably
if
right.
It can't it's notify you.
Some funky character.
Yeah, the watch was keeping that information to itself. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. If your watch starts keeping secrets from you, not good. So now if you have a compatible Apple Watch model but still use an iPhone that runs iOS 12, Apple released WatchOS 5.3.5 update for those. Hmm. So, and apparently in beta testing right now is 6.2. So that's going to be released soon, I bet.
Good
but
deal.
For now, update your watch to 6.1.3.
Mm-hmm. And this doesn't have a phone update tied to it, does it? It's independent?
Not that I noticed. It just happened today. We'll see. But mm-hmm. I don't think there was. I think it was mostly for that one reason. But and then the last thing I want to talk about, this comes to us from The Verge. And that is the coronavirus impact on the tech industry at large. Hmm. As we know already, Apple has mentioned they're going to miss their forecast for the next quarter because of the coronavirus. So they've already kind of put everybody on alert for that. Huge mm-hmm. trade shows have been canceled. And it's all about the supply chain, right? So it, kind of in a nutshell, this article tells you what to expect, at least right now. What's going on? Smartphone production is expected to decline 12% over this next quarter, which is the lowest it'll have been in 5 years. Supply chain is labor intensive, of course, so it's being heavily hit by the postponement of work resumption. So there's shortages all over the place for different things, camera modules, etc. And then they're talking about several fiber optic suppliers are based in Wuhan, China, where the outbreak originated. Together, they account for 25% of global production. So they're saying China's entire 5G rollout will probably be affected by this. Hmm. Now, they did say that memory, DRAM and NAND flash markets will be unaffected because they have stockpiles. Oh. And most of those semiconductor facilities are highly automated. It doesn't take many people to run it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting. When you talk about what Apple does, this is Tim Cook's pretty much his strength from the very beginning was to do on-demand inventory
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to where Apple did not – it used to not be that way at Apple. They used to get stuck with tons of stuff if it didn't sell. He came in and made it to where you order something, then it gets made, right? And think about what an incredible feat that was to do. But you get nailed in a situation like this, you get in trouble because you do not have stock.
Yeah, they and it's not 100% make to order, Tom. There'll be, I'm sure there's some inventory of parts and components that they utilize, but that's probably a minimal amount of stock too. So everyone's about to get crushed with the supply chain because they didn't have the safety stock. I mean, there's business continuity planning for, you know, a storm or a fire in a building or even an earthquake, but there's not business continuity planning for a month shutdown of something. That's just that's kind of unusual situation. So it's coming. The supply chain of a lot of companies is going to get shut down.
And they're saying overall they expect smartwatches, laptop PCs, and smart speakers to see the biggest decline. Smartwatches are set to drop 16% from previous years. That's huge. Again, this on-demand thing is fantastic, and it's what has allowed Apple to grow as quickly as it did. But this is the kind of the cutting edge. Yeah, this is the bleeding edge side of it, right? It's interesting.
Yeah, so it is. We'll see what happens. It could put the world in recession, you know, really quickly. So that's going to be, I think what you'll see out of this is not a move out of China, but a move to co-source in other countries with China because they just learned their lesson that you can't have this happen again.
Yeah. You're already seeing that in the articles that we just talked about. Apple's looking to different people in Taiwan and other places, right? To handle. Now they were looking prior to that just because of all the tariff issues. They were looking for other partners in other countries to kind of take over some of the load. But man, this is gonna hurt China in the long run, is it not? I mean, even if they get this under control, it's got a lot of people thinking, all my eggs, one basket, not a good idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's just because beginning of the article talks about how a lot of this stuff is very labor intensive and labor there is still very, very cheap compared to everybody else. So,
either nothing changes and it all goes back the way it was, which is tends to be the way things go, or look for prices to go up as they move stuff around. Like you said, labor costs.
I saw some stuff come out today that there's a rumor there'd be a March Apple event.
Yeah,
and I wonder if that will stay or this impact of China will impact what they're going to talk about.
That's a good question. Nobody knows. I mean, the March event, from what I've been hearing, was supposed to be, was it a new iPads? Is that right?
Mostly iPad oriented. It looked like,
it may be
iPad
a new
Pro,
but there's also been talk that Apple might come out with a new phone. The new version of the SE, a smaller one, but
Like a version 9, right? With $399, it would be a phone, iPhone 9.
Correct. Apple might be going to a twice a year rollout of phones.
What a year to pick that, right? What a year to put that supply chain in place. Bad luck.
Well, they're not the only ones. I think other manufacturers are doing the same thing twice a year now. But it'd be interesting to see if, you know, they haven't announced it yet, so they could always postpone it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the company I work for, Tom, we do procurement for people, and one of my clients, they were trying to get face masks for their China operations. And I think we called like 25 countries, and 24 of them had. So now even I don't know if it's electronic parts or anything else, but they won't. You know, the governments won't export anything now because they don't want to impact their business, right? So it's even gotten to the point where other countries are looking out for themselves when this happens.
Okay. Wow. I also heard that China was starting to sanitize its money.
Oh, no kidding.
Cash.
Wow.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I guess they don't know for sure how long a virus like that would live on a surface.
I heard something like 8 days, which is crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. You know, we work in the trade show industry, deal with the public.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Big groups of people, and I'm at the checkout and I'm checking people out. And whether it's a credit card they're paying with or cash, either way, as soon as I'm done with the transaction, hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. Then the next person comes up. Honestly, that's how bad it's gotten. That, and not because of this coronavirus, I've always done that. Simply because when we first started doing this, I got sick and I was tired of that happening. So I'm like, I'm not taking any chances. Every transaction, I'm using hand sanitizer because, yeah, you don't know how long is that something. They may not be coughing or exhibiting any signs of being ill, but the money they just handed you might have something on it.
That's crazy. Right? Yeah, that's a big case for Apple Pay.
It is. Contactless payment. Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's that's the way to fight the flu.
It is. It is.
Apple Pay your way out of it, right? Yeah, that's the new way to get vaccinated, right? With Apple Pay. It's an Apple Pay vaccine. That's what it is.
And then it can take your temperature. Your Apple Watch can take your temperature, which they have to do in China now. I think to enter like a public building, you have to take your temperature. Maybe your watch can do that and display it for you.
Oh, I love the way that at least we have the technology now to take someone's temperature without contact. Mm-hmm. They just point it at them, right?
A laser? Yeah.
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 That's pretty cool. I like that. Okay. Any other stories? There's one other story we were going to mention about Pandora, right? That Pandora now has an app, or the app for Pandora, I'm sorry, that is for your watch, is now standalone. So it doesn't need the phone.
Oh.
So and I think Nike Run Club, yeah, Nike Run Club did this a while back, where you can just download it directly on the watch without going through the phone. And now I think Pandora does the same thing, but it's with streaming as well. So, and I think, Chris, you were mentioning you wanted to review that at some point here when you had some time with it, right?
Yeah, that was my text last week, and I didn't really focus on it. So I will this week and review it next week.
Yeah, definitely when you've had some time to work with it, because that is kind of interesting. I think it's not the first standalone third-party app for the watch, but it is the first one that is streaming, I do believe.
Yeah. I think so.
So, yeah. Looking forward to that. Speaking of what we like this week, Vincent, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, so I'm kind of doing an annual PSA here, public service announcement. You guys know I work in IT, but specifically I do a bit of cybersecurity and just IT information system security in general. So, I mean, the thing is, what we come across a lot of times just in our realm of work is just folks getting hacked with ransomware. It's a very, very common thing. And it's just something that, it's really painful to recover from. And it's actually relatively simple to kind of prevent in the first place. And that's obviously you're going to hear a lot of things about two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication. And so I just wanted to kind of delve a little bit into that. So kind of hang in there, right? So two-factor authentication, you guys, you've heard that before. Two-factor meaning that it's like your password is something that you know. And then the second factor is something that you have. And so that's like having your phone or having your watch or something like that, with a code that you would enter, that they would send you. Other single factors that you can come across are like, the biometric face unlock, retina scans, voice recognition, like when Siri kind of recognizes your voices with your commands, fingerprint, you can have GPS or geography. And so you can also have like your watch on you to unlock your laptop or to pay. So that's just a single factor. So two-factor, a password you know, second factor, something else that you provide the system. I would encourage it.
I'm sorry. So the Apple Watch, since it's when I unlock it, that's single factor, right?
Yep.
But when I then use Apple Pay and it's already on my wrist, that's still single, right?
Factor. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's still Sinker Factor.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, definitely iCloud and Apple have their, for your iCloud account, have you can enable two-factor authentication. I highly encourage you to go ahead and do that. I mean, a lot of celebrities, as you know, have been hacked through their iCloud accounts, and that's where all your photos and everything else are stored. So definitely go in there and turn that on. And what it does is that whenever you or somebody tries to log into iCloud, it will trigger a request for another device, and it'll show a code on your iPad or iPhone so that you know, you have to punch that code in before they can access everything else. I don't know, with Mac users out there, you guys are maybe, you know, big Mac fans. There isn't as much ransomware out there as much as the ones that affect PCs, but definitely don't take it lightly. I'd also encourage you guys to kind of download a password manager like Dashlane or LastPass, 1Password. There's a bunch of them out there. I know a lot of people in our field of work, we try not to use, you know, encourage people not to use the same password. I know a lot of people do that.
A lot
of the same password for a lot of the same systems.
Well, think about it. You have these days, you can have up to 90 different online passwords that you need to keep track of.
Yeah.
No one can do that
right.
on their own.
Yeah.
Right. So without repeating something.
Use password generators. You know, it meets all the complexity requirements that you need. Or, I mean, to be honest, you could just write it down on a piece of paper with an algorithm that you use, or just leave off a few characters or something like that that you know. But, you know, heck, just use a password generator. But if you do use a password generator, use the authenticator apps as well that come along with it. I personally recommend the LastPass kind of ecosystem because it also has LastPass Authenticator, which you can do push authentication, which is basically it just sends you a notification and you authorize the access or something like that. And what's cool with LastPass Authenticator is it also allows you to back up your codes to the vault for LastPass in general. So that way, if you change phones and you change iPhones or something like that, you don't have to go through the process of re-enrolling every single one of your two-factor codes, which is, I have like a ton of them. So I definitely do not recommend it.
I do have a question. Yeah. Again, sorry to keep interrupting you, but Keychain on the Mac does the same thing, does it not?
Yeah.
Or is it
Keychain?
Different?
You can definitely use Keychain as a way of storing passwords.
Because it generates really weird passwords for you. And if you get a new phone or you get a new computer, as soon as you log into your Apple ID, all your passwords then are there.
Yeah, I would recommend using Keychain password, and then sometime on the newer MacBooks, you can do a fingerprint for it to unlock the Keychain. So that's your second factor. I mean, the one thing we don't recommend is actually storing your passwords in your browser. Especially for specifically high sensitive sites.
I'm sorry, but that's true. Yeah. People put them, you know. Mm-hmm. So one of my notes should not be labeled passwords and have all my passwords on it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
but that kind of bringing this home to how it relates to the watch. I mean, us folks that have the watch, it definitely makes it a lot more convenient to receive those codes. And, you know, whatever it's a text message or having the app. I believe all the authenticator apps, Microsoft, Duo, LastPass, Authy, they all have Apple Watch native app. And so it'll push. And so it'll be definitely helpful to you know, have your watch on you and plug in those codes when you get them. So, you know, hey, consider yourself lucky. You've got your watch right there, and turn on two-factor authentication, prevent yourself from ransomware and getting compromised.
Definitely. And just because the Mac has not been a target does not mean that it's safe.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. I just read that there's more and more targets toward the Mac, actually.
Yeah. It's getting worse.
Yeah. The more people use the Mac, unfortunately, that becomes a bigger target. Mm-hmm. It's never been a big enough target for anybody to really focus on. That's why it hasn't happened. But
yeah, it's getting out Apple's, there.
But Apple's been pretty good with security, but they've been lucky too because of that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, if I could choose one thing that you should put two-factor authentication on, it is your email account. At the end all of it, because that email account, basically, if someone compromises it, they can impersonate you, reset all your accounts, and it's game over.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about you reusing passwords is if they somehow, let's say I logged on to some service 5 years ago with a password that I've reused on other things. If that company gets hacked, they will take that password, my name, and start applying it to every possible thing I could have.
Yep,
certainly. And,
and that's the issue. So, yeah, especially your bank accounts and things like that should be 100% crazy unique. That's definitely worth using. I've been using the keychain for most of that. But I'll tell you, what drives me nuts is it's not really secure. I can see why they do it, but it's one of the things I care the least about security. And that's, let's say, the password for my HBO Go login will expire. I'm sitting down to watch something, turn it on, and I've got to re-log in.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no keychain for this. This is on Apple TV.
Right.
I got to remember what that is. Yeah. Oh, nothing will make me more.
Oh, yeah. Password expirations are a dying thing. People are like, yeah.
Yeah. It's frustrating when that happens. And what happened to Apple's single sign-on for Apple TV?
Oh, that's true. They were supposed to do that one day.
Yeah, they were. And why isn't it tied to my keychain? Why don't I enter it once and be done with it, right? I don't know. Anyway, great tip, two-factor. It can be frustrating at times, but it is definitely the only way to be secure.
Indeed.
Until they have to do three-factor.
Which would
and
be
then four.
Yeah,
and then
so,
five.
So the GPS is going to be your third one, most likely. And so just to, you know, so you're sitting here with your Apple Watch on, you log into your service, and your location is in, you know, where it's supposed to be, not in Ukraine or somewhere. So,
what about biometrics? Yeah. Do you think biometrics can be one, Vincent?
Yeah, fingerprints.
That can be another one, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why we were talking about the Apple Watch possibly getting Touch ID in the future. Yeah. Would be another way of doing it. So,
but I think in a story we mentioned a couple months ago, and I may be remembering this wrong, didn't they say that they can do, maybe it's a patent, Tom, it was authentication through the sensors of your body, right? It knows who you are by your skin content or something like that, pigment in your skin. It learns all that, right? So it knows when you put the watch on, hey, this is Chris.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Or it's not Chris, you know, disintegrate in 30 seconds.
This watch will self-destruct in 30
seconds.
Yeah,
that too.
I can't get the clasp off. No.
Although, Tom, so, anyone under the age of 45 did not know what you were talking about.
That's true. Well, do they really? Well, they watch the movies?
Well, no, Tom Cruise movies, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I take that back. Maybe they do.
Yeah. Hasn't he done that in every movie?
I think so. It starts out like that.
I think once, usually.
One time he had a book. He had a book that had a cassette thing in it or something, and the book started smoking, you know, self-destruct. Oh, and then there was one he had. He was in Russia, and it was a payphone, and it had, you know, that was looked like a payphone. It had all the stuff in it, and it told him it was going to self-destruct, and he hangs up and he walks away, and nothing happened.
How do you remember all this, Tom? I've seen all the movies. And I couldn't,
because it's in
anything.
Russia, it's not working, and then eventually it self-destructs, right?
Yeah, you know, I do remember that now. I remember that scene.
Yeah, they were making fun of the whole thing, that the thing will self-destruct. Anyway, okay, what do I like this week? Besides Mission Impossible movies, I have an interesting product here, and this showed up just as I was looking for something like it. So how does that happen, right? I guess everything we do online is tracked these days, right? So they know what you want before you do. Have you ever done that? Been looking for something and suddenly the perfect thing just shows up?
Of course.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was looking for, of all things, an old-fashioned mouse pad, right? It's not something I've looked for in a very long time. I use my mouse kind of on the bare surface of my desk, and it's fine, except for all the dirt that accumulates over time. You know, the Apple mouse has the plastic rails on it that have to be cleaned off. Anyway, I was looking for something to use when we're recording like this, and I'm using it right now, that would be somewhat quieter when I'm moving my mouse across the hard surface, right? So, of course, there's a high-tech version available. And I thought it was a pretty novel idea. And that is, it's a mouse pad that also has room to set your iPhone on it, and it wirelessly charges your phone at the same time. So this is from the company Kanex, K-A-N-E-X. We've reviewed some of their stuff in the past. They make a lot of different charging products for the Apple Watch. They have a multi-use charging stand. They have the Go Power. They have a portable battery Apple Watch charger. They make a number of wireless charging devices, hubs, keyboards, docking stations, you name it, they make it. Well, this is their new, what they're calling a premium mouse pad with wireless charging. And it comes in four colors. You can get it in blue, beige, cream, and gray. And the Surface, I had to actually contact them for this info because I couldn't find it on the website as to what the Surface was. Because I was wondering how, if it was hard plastic or something, it wasn't going to work for the sound. But it's what they're calling a TLC leather cover on it. Okay, so it's a little softer. It's got a very nice, slick, soft feel to it. It's a decent size. It's 9 by 12. And on the right side of it, there's a little indented plus symbol, and that's your target to set your phone down. And I have to say, it's quite satisfying to sit down at your computer, place your phone down on the pad, just as you might have normally just set it down your desk, but now it's charging.
How cool is that?
It's a pretty neat idea. Mm. Yeah, I really like this. The only small knock on this entire concept is I now have yet another cable to manage on my desk. Because it plugs in. And I have way too many computer cables. I got monitor cables, external hard drive cables, your iPad, your Apple Pencil, your Apple Watch, your phone, all these cables, right? It's just a lot to manage, and now I've got one more. It's kind of ridiculous if you look under my desk how many wires and tangled cables are back there.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's called wireless charging, but it's not really, is it? None of this is. It's only the direct connection with your phone is the wireless part. Anyway, this charging mouse pad is $49.95, and you get it at Kanex.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes for it. But anyway, I have, in doing all this, I have a great idea for Apple, okay? And I should try to patent or TM this at least immediately. They need to improve their Magic Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't so magic, is it, when it needs to be charged?
The umbilical cord.
And you can no longer use it while it's charging because it's on the bottom. That's the most ridiculous engineering decision I've ever seen from Apple. It's just a really bad idea. How about a wireless charging mouse?
Mm-hmm.
So Apple comes out with a new, more magical mouse and a special mouse pad like this one, that you can charge your phone and your mouse will always be charging when it's sitting on the pad.
Mm-hmm.
I'd buy that in a second.
And your MacBook.
Yeah. Think of a big, giant desk
pad.
Exactly. Right?
The desk pad.
I like that. Oh, man. But yeah, it would solve the problem with their mouse and it'd give them another product to sell. So you're welcome, Apple. Make the checks payable to me. I'll be looking for them very soon. Anyway, I like this. This is pretty cool. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. I'm using it right now. It's going to travel with me. We'll see how it goes. But it's pretty cool. It's a nice little pad.
That is
very neat.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
Well, Tom, I'm kind of following up to a story we talked about last week. It was 9 to 5 Mac that talked about maybe some future capability in the Apple Watch that would automatically change watch faces based on location or activity. So I had some time on an airplane, as usual this week, and I just opened up my iPad and started a note in the Notes app, and I designed what I would put in. So I'm not going to go through it because I thought this would be like one or two faces, and I guess it was a long flight. I came up with seven, right? Seven faces and okay. All the complications underneath them. I way too much time. I'm sorry. But I'll just highlight a couple. So and then maybe go through a couple in detail. So the first one I did was Infograph Travel Day. So obviously Infograph has 8 different complications, and if you're doing a travel day, I would do this from like 4 a.m. to 6 p.m. because sometimes I have to get up at 4 a.m. for a flight, and usually I'm in my hotels by 6 p.m. that day. So I would call that Infograph Travel. And then after 6 p.m., it would go to Infograph Home, where I'd have a different set of 8 complications. Now that I'm home, either in a hotel or home, or I'm not working, right? And then I had, then I'd have one for like an event. Like if I go to my craft beer market, which I have this watch face, I have the logo of my business, and then I put like the weather and the date on it. So when I walk in to the business, people look at my watch and say, hey, you got your logo on there. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool. Or when I go to a college football game, I usually change it to a picture of me and my son, doing a selfie at the stadium, or the logo of my college, right? So it'd be cool, if you walked into like a college football game or just near the college, it would change automatically to that. So that's another one. It's kind of entertainment based. And then I had one I called California Gradient, because I really like the both those faces, the California and the Gradient. It'd be health. And then I had one, the color Simple or Meridian, because they're nice, easy, simple faces with 4 to 5 complications. And I call that one entertainment. And the last one I did would be like disconnect. So the numerals uno or the numerals duo. If you ever had those faces, those are what you call your disconnected faces, because there's no complications. Just give me the time.
Right. Yep.
So let me just go through one then, because I don't want to linger on too much. But so this Infograph Travel Day, I would have these complications. I'd have messages, date, and activity. I'd have reminders. I'd have carrot for weather, so I'd know where I'm going or where I'm going to go. I almost thought about, can you do 2 complications with weather? Like if I'm going to 2 cities in a day, which happens once in a while, I'd put on like a Hilton Hotel complication, Uber complication, and then Circa. I reviewed Circa maybe a year ago. That's where you can check time zones. If you're in an East time zone, you can check time zones anywhere in the world and compare the two and know what time it is there. So if you're going to call someone and it's not like 3 in the morning. So that's kind of what I'd have on the travel day. And then like another one I mentioned, California or Gradient for health. This would be cool if like pull into the gym parking lot. It would change to this face. It would have activity, pedometer plus, heart rate or heart watch. It'd have breathe and EKG, right? So 5 of those.
Activity, yeah.
Yeah. So those are just, when this happens, I've already got mine done, right? I can just go in and create all this.
You're ready.
I'm ready to go. So anyway, just kind of playing around and another kind of – so I'm actually going to design all these faces, by the way. I just have to do them manually, but so it was a worthwhile exercise.
Yeah. I mean, right now you could create those. Mm-hmm. The problem is you have to know where they are and swipe to them manually every place you go.
That's right. So it's not terribly bad, but it'd be really cool just to
– if it was automatic.
Yeah, show up at the gym – or show up at the airport and your travel day face turns up. You know, show up in your driveway and your home face shows up.
Right. So, or even if it's not changing the face, if the complications simply change.
And that's what it is on a couple of these. It's just changing complications.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, great. You're ready.
I'm ready. Sign me up.
If Apple will ever come out with any of these things, we'd be all set, wouldn't we?
I even thought of an interface of you can do it. You can have like a drag and drop. Create all the faces, and then you can just drag and drop them to the times and days you want to do it, and you can make it all work.
Nice. All right. Let's do one quick listener feedback here. This is from Michael Waring. And Michael says, hi, guys. Thanks for a great podcast. I looked everywhere for an answer to this but can't find any. How do I find out which version of a third-party app is on my watch and when or if it was updated? This is for apps that still install via the companion app on the iPhone. Kind regards, Michael from Sweden. Thank you for your message there, Michael. What I would do, and guys chime in if you find anything different here, but the only way I can think of to do this, because it's up to the individual app. If you go into an app on your phone that happens to be on your watch as well, some of them will have that info right there in the app, in the about or whatever. You can find out the exact number. Now, some of them don't. I've looked at some of my apps and there's none of that information is there. And the only way I can find out the latest version of the app is to go to the app store on your phone, search for that app, tap on it, and since you've downloaded it, it will probably just say open. If it says open, whatever the latest version is listed there is what you have. If it says update, then you don't have that latest version and you need to update. Now, I don't know how to find out how many versions back you might have currently on your thing. That's a problem. I think that's something Apple should build into the OS, if you will, to where I can force press or do something on an Apple pop-up with that about information. Because right now, it is kind of a search, a hunt, if you will, to determine what version am I running. It's not that is. Let's put it this way: there's no common way to find it in every app. So, am I wrong here? Do you guys have any other opinion
this
on
is,
that?
This is for apps that you need to update,
or just any app you have on your watch. Mm-hmm. If you want to know what version that app is, what version am I running of Dark Sky?
Oh,
how would you find out?
Right? Yeah. You couldn't tell. Yeah. I mean, you're on the right track. I mean, you could go to the app store, and if you click on your face, your profile in the top right corner, it will show you a list of all the upcoming automatic updates and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, that you're right. That's another. That's a good point. That's another good thing to look at to see what's coming up. Yeah, and the other thing is, if you turn on automatic updates, it should take care of all those, should it not? Eventually. Mm-hmm. But some people don't like to do that. They like to do them themselves manually. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thanks for that question, Michael. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing we hadn't really talked about before. All right. Well, anything else before we find out we closed all of our rings by a friend congratulating us on finishing our rings? You ever do that? That happened to me today. I did not realize I had closed my rings until I got a text saying, hey, congrats.
I got yours today too, Tom.
Did you? Yeah. See, I got yours. And that's funny how sometimes it's very prominent and loud and you see the rings do their little spin, you know, fireworks thingy. And sometimes you'd never even notice. You look down and it's like, oh, I did complete it today. So anyway. All right. Well, that is all the time we do have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. As I've said, links to a lot of the stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service that you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.